Everybody, this is Pastor Betty. We're getting in here a little bit late due to an overrun. These preachers, you know, they get started and they don't know when to stop. But anyway, we're here. Praise Yahweh. And we're welcoming you in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call, part two of the Apostle Paul. Was he true or was he false? Well, we're going to we're going to examine that, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to see exactly what the Scriptures says. Have you ever really imagined the Gospel, the Bible, without Paul's writings to explain to you some of the great mysteries that he received through Revelation? Galatians 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not for men, nor through man, but through the Messiah and the Father who raised him from the dead. Romans 1 and 1, Paul, a bondservant of the Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of the Mighty One. 2 Timothy 1 and 1, Paul, an apostle of the Messiah by the will of God. It's repeated over and over and over in his epistles. Corinthians 1 and 1, 2 Corinthians 2 and 1, Ephesians 1 and 1, Colossians 1 and 1, 2 Timothy 1 and 1. If it is not true, then the Scripture is not inspired by holy men as they were moved and wrote by the Mighty One. So, if you really want to look at some of the great deep mysteries, and I've read about many men in the Bible, Paul is one of the most intriguing men that I ever read about in his writings. Now, you can find the claims of this new anti-Paul cult, which is completely bogus, concerning what Paul preached, was not only the same as the other apostles, but was sanctioned by them because he was with them. And I have proven to you that there was no dispute, as I read to you in Galatians 2 and 1, after 14 years he went up and he took Barnabas with him, and they withstood Peter. Actually, before he ever went up, he withstood Peter right to his face and told him that he was preaching contrary to the direction of the Messiah. And Peter humbled down. He realized that he had weakened because he went over and ate and drank and baptized Cornelius, the household of Cornelius. And of course, that was in the book of the apostles, their Acts, very few of them ever ventured to do that. He was the first one because he was actually commanded to go by Yahweh. Now, they won't accept that. Paul knew it, and so then, listen to this, Acts 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up before them David as king, to whom also he gave a testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will, from this man's seed according to the promise. God raised up for Israel a Savior, the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, And after John had first preached, before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, "Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear Yahweh, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath in their synagogues, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they could find no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they were fulfilled, all this was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But Yahweh raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you these glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God which has fulfilled this and for their children, and that's us, in that he raised up the Messiah, Yahushua, in a flesh body, as it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you,' and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He hath spoken thus, 'I will give you the sure mercies of David.' Therefore, he also says in another psalm, 'You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption.'" That was his flesh body, ladies and gentlemen. "For David, after that he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption." A mason. "Therefore, let it be known unto you, brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things which they could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now, this is Acts chapter 13. "Beware, therefore, lest that which has been spoken in the prophets come upon you." Now, look at this point. This is what Peter said to Israel on Pentecost, Acts 2:22-3:16. "Men of Israel, hear these words. The Messiah, Yahushua of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God threw him in the midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God." I mean, he knew that this was going to happen. He was on a time track. Ladies and gentlemen, he really knew this. "You have taken by lawless hands. You have crucified him and put him to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I should not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad, and moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn to him an oath, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Messiah to sit on the throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Yahweh, that his soul would not be left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This is the Messiah who God has raised up, of which we are his witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, Yahweh saith unto me, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Messiah, Yahweh sure in the flesh body, whom you have crucified, both the Lord and the Christ. And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren and men, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and all that are far off, even as many as Yahweh will call. And with many other words, he did testify and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. King James has it rendered, to save yourself. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Now, folks, under the law, there was no such thing as a ritual of water baptism immersion. There was a laver in the assembly that they could wash their feet and their hands. And that's what Peter wanted to do. And all that day, about 3,000 souls, there was added unto them, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers. Both refer to David, and both refer to the crucifixion for their sins to be forgiven. The reaction to Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13, verses 42 and 43, and so when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Notice that Barnabas was with Paul, and he spoke the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, he spoke the gospel of invitation. Come and receive it. Come and receive it gladly. And those that heard the word, Paul administered baptism in the name of Yahweh, just like Peter did. Just like the rest of them, although he baptized perhaps more than all of them together. Although he didn't baptize, he wasn't sent to baptize, he said, I'm sent to sow the word, and his aides, they continue baptizing. Although we know that in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul baptized these Jews, who called themselves Jews up there, and he rebaptized these believers in the name of Yahweh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to show you something right here to prove the validity of the scriptures concerning Paul. We're going to Deuteronomy, like I promised you last night in part one. This is part two of those who would like to bash Paul and remove him from the Bible. Well, and I've said last night, I know people that actually cut the writings of Paul out of the Bible and refuse to use it in the Bible, simply because they got such a spirit against this man, because they don't understand his writings. Deuteronomy 13:1. If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you wonder about these signs and wonders today. Well, notice in verse 2. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, it's nothing for a dreamer, a false prophet, or these that could give a sign and it would come to pass. Now, how is that possible? The Bible says that Yahweh, through these signs and wonders, will send the lost, and if the gospel's hid, it's hid to them, it's lost, a strong delusion that they're going to believe these signs and wonders. And Yahweh said, when you see these, it come to pass. Whereover that I spake unto you, saying, let us go after other gods. When they say, let us go after other gods, which thou hast known, and let us serve them. Notice verse 3. Thou shalt not. Although they perform signs and wonders, they tell dreams, they prophesy and speak great swelling words to convince you. Paul didn't do none of this, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that Paul gave him was stripes on his back, beaten and hated and despised for the name of Yahweh. Yeah, he worked a miracle down there on the island when he went over and healed the man that was bitten with a snake that should have died. Yeah, he raised up the young lad that fell out of the window when he was preaching. You know, ladies and gentlemen, some people go to sleep when I preach. Now, that's well enough, but some people went to sleep on Paul and fell out a window and killed herself. He's dead. And Paul went down and raised him up. Now, that is truly a miracle, but that was a performance that came through abuse, a performance that was proven through suffering. The Bible said in Matthew 10:22, you shall suffer great things for my name's sake. These other prophets and dreamers use false names, false titles. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to get into this, but it's true. Notice this. When that comes to pass, you shouldn't follow them. Do not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For Yahweh, your God, proveth you to know whether you love Yahweh, your God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul. You shall walk after Yahweh. I don't care if he gives you a sign or a miracle, and don't. See, you see, ladies and gentlemen, the wicked people follow and seek signs. And that's why that there's so many signs being given these wicked people, because that's what they're seeking. You get what you ask for. But if you want the truth, get in and read the Apostle Paul, who was the most suffering servant, and it's accorded to the book of Acts, chapter 9, that he would suffer. And if you go to 26, you'll find the reenactment of Acts chapter 9. It was retold. And Paul was told by Yahweh when he healed him and told him to go preach. And Paul was astonished at who he was, because he had been whipping and beating people for calling on the name of Yahweh publicly, because in the Jewish religion, he had been told it was too sacred to do that, to call publicly on the name of Yahweh. He thought it was blasphemy. And so he was persecuting people ignorantly, and he admitted it. Here's a man that would admit his mistakes, and then there's people that condemn him for doing so and say, oh, he had to be a false prophet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you better take it very easy. You better tread very careful when you call a man of Yahweh. You're on the borderline of blaspheme in the Holy Ghost. When you speak evil of a man and say he has an unclean spirit, you better watch yourself. You could get in dire circumstances beyond your wildest imagination. He could turn out to be a nightmare on the street for you, as it was for Paul when he was blinded and went down there and received his sight by Ananias, a believer, and he got the right hand of fellowship with Peter, James, and John. So if you're going to cut Paul's writing out, you might as well cut those brethren out. And then you ain't going to have anything but the Old Testament. You're going to completely... And why should you have a New Testament anyway? When you deny the resurrection, most of these people are sacred name people that do this. And I condemn you, and I rebuke you in the name of Yahweh, that you proceed no further with this ignorance. That you're blaspheming against Yahweh's servant here. Now again, notice this. Paul said, claimed that his signs and wonders were a reason that one should accept him as an apostle. 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly, the signs of an apostle was wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now, most people won't even test Paul. They just determine he was a false prophet and throw him out. And they take the experience that Paul said he had with the Messiah and Messiah's words that he spoke in Acts chapter 9 to him and told him to go, and he told him he would send an angel with him. Now listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, bringing Peter again in on the account of the witness that he loved Paul and that he appreciated Paul, and he recognized Paul as a man of the gospel. Because when Paul rebuked him, Peter humbly submitted to Paul that he had failed and that he had actually done wrong. And he repented. Here. And the account, ladies and gentlemen, remember that when the Apostle Paul is preaching to you, take into account that the long-suffering of Yahweh is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, it was purposely given unto him to have the art of speaking these languages, being very well educated in both the law and then being indoctrinated by Yahweh himself as he appeared to him in several visions and trances. Ladies and gentlemen, and he got the full message. Paul, according to the wisdom, has written unto you. And verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which those that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also with the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You see what I'm talking about here, ladies and gentlemen? And you better be very careful. Because when you go against Paul, you're going against a Peter. And if you go against Peter, I don't know why that you would want to get into the New Testament, because Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and Peter gave Paul and his accompanying ministers, he gave them the right hand of fellowship up in the church at Jerusalem, where Paul went right in there boldly and spoke the grace and truth of Yahweh, and said there is no need to be circumcised after the manner of Moses to display your loyalty to the Messiah. He said, this was misunderstood. He said, he wants you to circumcise your heart. Peter's heart wasn't circumcised when he started relenting and got ashamed because the lawyers, the Judites, began to accuse him of going into unclean people and eating with unclean people and baptizing unclean people, and Peter was carried away with that, and he relented, and Paul, that's why Paul talked about him, and this is why Peter is standing up for this man. Now listen to this. This passage that I just read you, 2 Peter 3:15, 16, and 17, seals the case for Paul being a true apostle in the times that he mentioned Paul in his writings. Those who hold that 2 Peter had been changed or added to, they try to do away with that. So they clip a little bit out of that. They accept Peter being an apostle, but they won't accept Paul. But when Peter alludes to it, they clip that out also, because they hate Paul. These are Paul bashers. And ladies and gentlemen, it is not good for those who do this. And they say that both 1st and 2nd Peter are obviously the forgeries. Sylvanus as both the writer of 1 Peter and a companion of Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 and 12 and 2 Thessalonians suggest a strong Pauline influence. In 2 Peter, we have not only the apparent endorsement of Paul by Peter, but we also have Paul's message restated by Peter. Now, is it a forgery? As most of these Paul bashers believe? Did you know that they don't even believe in the resurrection themselves? I mean, they're going to tell you that the Messiah faked his resurrection, like I said, and ran off with Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils, and went off and had babies with her. Folks, if that was his mission, then all of the scriptures of the prophetic utterance of the Old Testament, which they accept, would have to be rewritten. Is that forgery? These idiotic people that pick up a Bible and clip out the sayings of Paul simply because they've got a spirit against him, because they believe that he was against the law, therefore he had to be a false prophet. Folks, he interpreted the law in a spiritual meaning, and these people that do this are the same as guilty as those Jews were who thought that Paul was preaching against the law when they heard him preach. Now let's go to this. Galatians 1 and 11. But I certify you, brethren, this is Paul, that the gospel which I preached was not of man, but after the Messiah's instructions. Galatians 1 and 17. Neither did I go up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus, and then 14 years later I went up there, and I withstood them, Peter, James, and John, who were the pillars in the church. I withstood them to their face, and when the debate was ended, Peter, James, and John gave Paul the right hand of fellowship. Now you can cut that out if you'd like. Ladies and gentlemen, you better be very careful. Concerning, Paul said in Philippians 3 and 6, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church of the believers. But touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. Now, how could he persecute? And see, his eyes was blinded. He was interpreting the law just like these people that now are accusing Paul of breaking the law or not believing in the law. They are blinded themselves, like Paul was blinded to start with. Paul had to get a change of heart. 1 John 4 and 1. Beloved, don't believe every spirit that comes and wants to clip Paul out of the Bible. But try the spirits. I've seen some of these characters. I've heard some of them. I've heard their doctrine. Man, they'll twist. They'll go out of their way to prove a doctrine by twisting the scriptures to their understanding. But the Bible said, try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world, and Paul was not one of them. But those who try to discredit Paul are indeed the false prophets. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul preached the Messiah, who came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, that didn't say that his sin, his flesh was sinful, because the Bible said he was without sin. But then, when they tried to convince him that he was a sinner, because, you see, the law said divers washings. Well, every time he ate, he didn't wash his hands, neither did the apostles. Of course, they were all Galilean heathen anyway, because the Jews didn't recognize them being anybody anyway. That's why he chose them. He made him somebody, and he made Paul, who was a Jew by religion, not by birth, he was a Benjamite. He was trained in the Pharisee religion. He was very strict, as I've read you, perfect. Concerning the law, he thought he was perfect. But he got him an education out behind the woodshed, where the Messiah had struck him down and took him to and turned his life upside down. Ladies and gentlemen, you better check out. You better check out these people with Deuteronomy chapter 13. You better check and see if they are of Yahweh. Now when we go to Peter again in Acts chapter 10, which I referred to, but I want to cover this in depth so that I won't leave no stone unturned. Peter is referring in Acts chapter 10, 38, verses through 11, 18, when he first preached the gospel to the Gentiles, Cornelius and his house, how God anointed the Messiah with the Holy Spirit, with the power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for the Spirit was with him. And we are witnesses of these things that he did both in the land of Jerusalem, or Judea and Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. It wasn't a cross. Him, Yahweh, raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Now, what about those who say that he didn't die? These are the Paul bashers, ladies and gentlemen. Check their doctrine out. When you hear somebody knocking Paul, you get down to the bottom of their doctrine, they're denying the resurrection. Now, if Christ, Paul preached it, if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then you're still in your sins. Because the law could save nobody. Now, I want to repeat that. I gave you the law, none of you kept it. And it was impossible to keep the law to the perfect state that God required, because he said no sin. And by the knowledge of the law is sin, according to Paul in the book of Romans. So the more law you know, the more you know you're a sinner. That's what the law's for, to show you that you need a Savior, and the law can't save you. If the law could have, then Christ died in vain if he did die. Now, if he didn't die, that means we're all still in our sins if the law is not able to perform. And you know what the Bible talks about the law? It says he found a weakness in the law. The covenant, I read it to you in Hebrews chapter 10, that he found fault with the first covenant. That's the law covenant, ladies and gentlemen. He found a fault in it. He found a weakness. And what was that weakness? That sin had to be condemned in the flesh by the law, and that's by the law it will stop every mouth and make it guilty of sin. There's none good, no, not one. Every one of us is a sinner. You say, well, boy, I wear them tassels, glory to God. You could hang a tassel around your neck and jump off a tree and hang your neck on a tassel, and that still ain't going to save you. You say, well, I wear long garments. Well, so did the Pharisees. You see, when you start trying to act like you're keeping the law, and won't confess that you are a lawbreaker. You say, well, you show me where I'm breaking the law, glory to God, and I'll quit it. I've been through that before with these idiots that say that. Ladies and gentlemen, if the law could save you, then we got a problem here. Why are you serving the law? Because it is added because of transgression. And I'm not saying that the law is not just and holy and good, because the Bible says it is. But we're carnal and sold under sin. There ain't a man in shoe leather that don't have an evil thought. And if the very thought of foolishness is sin, and as soon as you sin, you're going to need something to cover your sins. And then you're going to have to go back to the law and offer up another bullock. Because if the Messiah didn't die, you see, your faith's in vain. Oh, but they pick out these little choice things. I've noticed these paw bashers. I've actually sat and watched them on their videos. They put out videos. Oh, yeah, and they take the Bible and, I mean, it looks like it's been scissored, and, you know, and they'll brag about it. I don't even have the writings of Paul in my Bible. Glory to God. Pharisees. Just like the Messiah encountered when
when they hated him because he ate with unclean hands. Because he went through the grain fields and put the corn on the Sabbath. Oh, these Holy Ghost Saturday keepers. Oh, shunda, glory to God, they'll say. Ladies and gentlemen, that ain't nothing but a bunch of malarkey. Most of it is false. There is a true tongue. I've done spoke about that and don't want to get started on that. But 99% of the Pentecostal holy speaking in tongues is nothing but sounding brass and tinkling cymbal of confusion. Halamashanda. They're going with a bunch of, you know, why don't they just speak English? And, you know, I get perturbed at these Hebrew speakers, too. No, you know, they say these long Hebrew words and you know, and they say, oh, glory to God, I'm Jewish and I want to be Jewish. And these Jewish wannabes, because they speak Hebrew. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know a man that could speak Greek, and his name was Paul, and he spoke it very plainly, and it was interpreted very plainly. And when you get into the power of the gospel and you understand what you hear in your language, Paul didn't speak to them in any foreign language that they didn't understand. When he went and preached to the Greeks that were scattered abroad, he used their language. That's why Yahweh chose him to go forth and utter the gospel in a tongue that was foreign to those over in Jerusalem that was speaking Aramaic. And, you know, and they pride themselves on these Hebrew words. I listen to some of these preachers that try to preach, and they'll throw these big long Hebrew words in there like it makes them important. When if you'll just simplify and use an English word, it'd sound much better anyway, and you'd have a better understanding with it. Although I don't have anything against Hebrew. It is a great language. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't have anything against English. It's a great language, and I like to, for you, if you talk to me, speak English. That's the only language I can understand. I can't understand Greek. I can't understand Hebrew. I can't understand German. I can't understand Yiddish. I can't understand Scandinavian tongue, Denmark. I can't understand Russian. But I certainly do know, after 50-some years of study in the English, I really know what the English says. And when you try to preach something over my head by using another language, then I want you to break it down and interpret it for me so that I can come back. Listen here. Peter repeats in Acts 11. He's telling them, as I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, as upon us at the beginning. And then I remembered the word of Yahweh, how he said, John indeed baptized water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Everybody thinks that the Holy Spirit is speaking in some kind of a foreign language or some kind of an angelic language. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost is truth. You ever heard of that? It's so rare, it's a language so rare that when somebody speaks it, you don't understand it. Especially you Paul bashers. You need to debate me. I'd invite any of these Paul bashers to get on the radio and debate me. I'd love it. I'd like to take the Old Testament and tear their dogmatic dogma of anti-Paul. I could tear it to pieces because, you see, in the Old Testament, it is recorded that the Messiah would die. And that they would see him, and that he would stand on the earth in the latter days, and that he would die and suffer and raise again the third day. That's all prophetic. Just read you the prophetic message of David. And ladies and gentlemen, he's seen corruption. His grave's still with us. But I know a man that went in and came out and didn't see no corruption. He didn't have no sin. And bless God, you better take that righteousness. That was the righteous offering that was offered for you to take your place, for you wasn't worthy. I don't care how much law you keep. You say, well, shun thy Lord of God. I keep the law. You show me where I'm... I've had people to literally brag. I say, you ever have a foolish thought? Well, now, well, sometimes.
Well, the Bible said the thoughts of foolishness is sin. So that brings you to where you're a sinner, and you're going to need somebody perfect. You ain't perfect. You may think you are, and I admire you for trying to be. I'm not against you for being, righteous. But when you let your righteousness corrupt your thinking to think that you're somebody, and through your... Paul got in this mess. He got so exalted in the flesh because he seen so many signs and miracles. The Bible said he got so exalted that, you know what Yahweh had to do? He had stick some sin in his life. He stuck a thorn in his flesh right in there, and Paul prayed to get it removed, and he said, Paul, my power is perfect in your weakness, not your strength. So, see, the stronger you try to be in the law, the more sin will chase you, and the more righteous you are in being walking by faith and let the righteousness of the Messiah cover you, and you stay humble and thankful that you're covered by the blood of the Messiah, and you're not covered with the blood of a goat or a bull or some long garment or some strange language that you're rattling off. You're covered with the truth, and it's the truth that makes you free, not some strange language. And you know, I like to speak in tongues myself. I get exalted sometimes, and I speak in tongues. Praise Yahweh. There is a gift of speaking in tongues. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto Yahweh. But it's just a gift. It's one of the minor gifts in the Bible. The greatest gift is to prophesy the truth of the righteousness of the Messiah and not your own. That's the greatest gift. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd do well to get in it, and we would do well to hear it, and we would do well to obey it, and we would do well to walk in it. I like good old country people. I like men that are men that you can trust behind your back and walk off and have a conversation after you've had a conversation that they won't slander you. And yet you'll see them up in the pulpit with their tassels on, their long robes on, acting holy, acting, oh, goody-goody two-shoe, backbiters and haters of Yahweh and them that preach Yahweh. If they hated you, you know they hated Yahweh. And they'll hate you for the same reason. And it's the foolishness of preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Man, I feel the anointing here tonight. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. See, the law ain't foolishness. It's rigid. They that broke the law of Moses died without mercy. And if you want Moses, his law, if you want his grace and his mercy, the first time that you have a foolish thought, you've sinned, and you're worthy of death. You say, well, no, it's not like committing adultery. There ain't no big sin or little sin. Sin is a transgression. And if you ain't got a transgression coverage, and I ain't talking about the blood of a goat or a bull, or your long garment, your tassels, and whatever you wear, and I don't have nothing against tassels. I know good men that wear them. But they don't do it for self-righteousness' sake. They do it to please the Father, to remind them of keeping the law. And whosoever teaches that you should break the law is going to be the least. Well, they classify Paul as one of the lawbreakers and teaching people to he said, your damnation is just. Because you say I preach, come let us do evil that good may come. When sin abounds in your life, when you are faced with many temptations, when the devil is riding you like he's sitting in the saddle of your life, and you're the bucking bronco, and he's riding you down to the ground with his tormenting spirit. When you preach a revelation of truth, now if you preach that self-righteous gospel, and you get proud and stuck up, and you got your chin turned up, if it rains, you drowned. You got your nose turned up to everybody, and nobody is good as you are, and you're Mr. Goody Two Shoes, and yet these people that preach this and trust in their own righteousness are doomed to fail and to fall, because Yahweh will bring you down, and Yahweh chose the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Now, let me tell you this. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. Now, you got that? The message of the cross. Well, these Paul bashers, most of them don't even believe that the Messiah died and that he was resurrected. Because Paul is the most intelligent advocate of the resurrection of the Messiah to justify you from sin. Now, if there wasn't a weakness in the first covenant, he wouldn't have needed to come, ladies and gentlemen. And Paul is the one that reveals this. Peter don't even speak of it. James don't speak of it. John don't speak of it. None of the other apostles speak of it. Paul is the master builder of this doctrine. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Messiah in grace, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. If you reject what Paul wrote, then you are ashamed of the gospel that the Messiah gave to him, and he preached it with a whole heart. I wish every man and woman and child on the planet had the fortitude and the heart that Paul had to preach and to suffer and to become a conqueror and an overcomer. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a mighty crown laid up for him. When he gets home, he's going to be seated among the elders. He's that 13th apostle. And ladies and gentlemen, these 13 tribes, whether you believe it or not, and Paul sits over that 13th. And it's marvelous that his name is embedded in one of those gates where the 13 tribes will march through. You can believe it, that 13th tribe, ladies and gentlemen, is the house of Dan, the warriors, the battlers, the ones that saw the light and brought it through, the ones that are outside the circle of the law covenant of the 12 tribes. This is the man that brought the plan, the revelation that's going to save you, and it's going to give you a new order of Melchizedek, not a law order of Moses. We have those that preach Moses ever. You see, people are constantly preaching it on the law and telling you should not steal. Well, you know in your own spirit you shouldn't steal. If you've got a righteous spirit in you, you ain't got the spirit to steal. But I guarantee you, if you're hungry, you'll steal. And you'll be justified for stealing. Now, you're going to say, oh, now there he goes. He's breaking the law of Moses. See what I'm telling you? He just told you could steal if you're hungry. Well, ladies and gentlemen, haven't you read about David when he was hungered? How he stole the bread off the showbread table, which wasn't lawful for him to do. It wasn't lawful. He sinned. He broke the law. But in his heart, he needed to eat, and so did his soldiers, and they ate. And they delivered Israel through breaking the law. They honored Yahweh. And Yahweh counted their faith as covering for the breaking of those statues that you can't keep and nobody else can keep. And the Messiah verified it when he said so. Well, I got to get off here. My time is coming down. I preached part two of the Apostle Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back with you Friday night. Yahweh willing and the creek don't rise. I'll be back with you on Friday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. I'll see you Saturday at 8 o'clock on our schedule. And if you'd like to join us then with another message. I don't know whether we'll do part three on this. Probably won't. But if we do, we will go into some of the gospel of Revelation that is prophetic in the Old Testament and prove to you that Paul had knowledge of those things and that he revealed those things through covenant. Paul is the very man that taught about out-of-body experiences. He said, I know a man 14 years ago, so it must have happened about the time he come up to Jerusalem. He said, whether in body or out, I don't know. But I know a man that was caught to the third heaven, and I heard things that were not lawful for me to utter in my mouth. What a revelation. What a great prophet. I honor the Apostle Paul tonight, and I stand and come to his defense, and I honor him, and I honor those who believe him. And I stand with you shoulder to shoulder, and cheek to cheek, and eye to eye, and back to back. And we'll guard the gospel like a junkyard dog. And anybody that we find that defames one of the greatest prophets that ever walked in shoe leather, ladies and gentlemen, he'll have the wrath of those who know better. When Paul turned the deputy blind that would try to seek to turn the deputy from the faith, when he turned this false prophet blind, you know, a lot of these people are already blind and don't even know it. They're stuck up and proud, thinking that they're law keepers. I mean, some of these people that preach against Paul and saying that he done away with the law, well, that makes them law keepers. You show me somebody's kept the law and never broke it. I want to see you. I want to shake your hand. I want you to look up in the heavens and say, and point your finger up there and say, hey, man, you sitting up there. You overlooked me. I was righteous. I kept the law. Glory to God. Why didn't you use me? Oh, man. You wouldn't even got to first base, let alone succeeded to get to take the whippings and the beatings and the things that the Messiah and the Apostle Paul both suffered. Ladies and gentlemen, it pleased God through foolishness of preaching. Call me tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. I'm a defender of the gospel. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. And I'm not ashamed to defend my brothers, whether they're gone on or whether they're still here. The men that know me, if you're still living in flesh and you're my brother, you've got me. I'm your brother. And I'll lay down my life for you if it takes it. We're talking about men who gladly laid down their life for you to reveal these wonderful truths that by salvation through grace and not of yourself and not works, it is a gift of Yahweh. You better accept it. And once you get it, then you'll keep more of the law than you ever did. You'll understand more about the law than you ever did because you need that understanding. Area code 423-626-2172. That's Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to write me, just use that, Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. And that's New Tazewell, NEWTAZEWELL, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, ladies and gentlemen, is 37824. Well, the old time on the clock is caught up with me. I got to get out of here. I'm sponsored tonight by my wonderful friend and brother, Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. If you'd like to call Dr. Gary, leave a message, or just call me and I'll relay it to him. I'll be seeing him, Yahweh willing, tomorrow. We'll be visiting together. He's coming up to visit me, and I'm so thankful that Yahweh sent my brother this way. Brother Paul, a wonderful friend of mine up in the great state of Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. We love you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you Friday night, 9:30, with the Shepherd's Call. Many blessings, America. You're going to need it before this time is over.
I'm proud to say that I live in America.
Are you proud that you live in America? Well, I am, and I love you. And we'll defend the homeland, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry, the devil can't rule it. It's a predestined nation of glory and power. And don't you worry about it. The man that rides through the heavens, he's coming back after people's kept the faith, so don't you give it up. America, you stay true. You defend the gospel like Pastor Buddy has tonight. Yahweh will bless you too. I love you.